we present Thank You, Mrs. Fothergill.
Ladies, if I could have your attention, please. Thank you. Good evening, and welcome to the regular monthly meeting of the Clothbottom Ladies Evening Guild. Before I introduce our guest speaker for the evening, I have a few announcements. First of all, apologies from Madam President, Mrs. Scott Henderson, who is unable to be with us tonight. They're away again. The Lake District, I think she said, didn't she, Phyllis?
Yes, walking tour.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Walking tour?
He crashed the car again.
Oh, yes, after that Masonic dinner, wasn't it? This evening, refreshments are in the capable hands of Miss Carter. Oh, which reminds me, I have been asked to draw your attention to the deteriorating condition of the urn. Now, as you know, the sequence of events was that you lit the pilot light, turned the gas on, and retired to a safe distance until it had gone bang. Well, now, you retire until it's gone bang twice. As Madam Secretary found out to her cost at the committee meeting last Tuesday. You're all right now, aren't you, Phyllis?
Thank you.
Yes, good. Now, the next item. Mrs. Melodew has tickets for Psychhead Methodist's gang show next Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Her Damien's in it again. Now, still on the subject of the performing arts, the drama subcommittee met to discuss our entry for the District Drama Festival. And after much deliberation on a number of possible plays, we have decided on a specially written one.
Ooh.
Yes, indeed. We shall be having a world premiere, in a manner of speaking.
Hey.
What was that, Mrs. Fothergill?
I said, hey, to attract your attention. Oh. Now, this specially written play, who's it been specially written by, as if I didn't know?
As a matter of fact, it was...
You were Malcolm.
Well, yes.
And
yes.
No doubt you gave him hand writing this play.
Well, just the occasional slight modification here and there, using my experience of playing with the Bankfoot Little Theatre.
I see.
It's a historical drama entitled At Home with the Brontes. It's about the Bronte sisters.
You surprise me.
Well, now, after the trouble we had with the auditions last year, we decided to dispense with auditions. It causes a lot of ill feeling, I'm sure you'll agree, and simply select the cast from the ladies who generously offered to assist in any way with the production.
I see.
If you remember last year, Mrs. Fothergill, ruffled feathers, 5 resignations, and that silly Mrs. Nettleton having to be physically restrained before we were able to cast Joan of Arc. In the end, I had to play it myself, as well as produce.
As I recall it, we had them resignations after. After you said you were going to play Joan of Arc and produce as well.
Thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. I don't think...
And sing all for the wings of a dove tied to that stake.
Thank you, Mrs...
Unaccompanied.
Mrs. Fothergill, time is pressing. Love. And we don't want to keep our guest speaker waiting all night, do we? Well, now, the cast will be as follows. Anne Bronte, Madam Secretary, Mrs. Middleton.
Alice.
Oh, what is it, Phyllis?
I'm not sure I want to play the part. I've not been on a stage before. I haven't slept since you told
me. You put your name down as someone willing to help.
I know, but I meant help. You know, show people to the seats and so on. And even that worries me. Walking up and down in front of people.
You put your name down to help and help you will. By playing the part of Anne Bronte.
Oh, you'd best find somebody else, Alice. She'll be no good to man the beast. Look at her. She's all of a quiver already.
Mrs. Fothergill, I must exercise my rights and cast as I want to, as producer.
As what?
Well, with my experience at the Little Theatre.
And you're Malcolm writing
it. That's right.
With a bit of help from you.
It was Malcolm's suggestion, Mrs. Fothergill.
There's no answer to that, is there?
No, there isn't. Now, Mrs. Partington, Doreen, will play Emily, and I shall do my best with the part of Charlotte.
I didn't say anything.
So, that leaves just one part, the housekeeper.
Only 4 parts? Nobody round here goes to see a play unless there's at least 8 folk in it.
Mrs. Fothergill, we must get on. I don't know what our guest speaker must think of us. The remaining part is that of the housekeeper, Mrs. Crabtree, described by the author as a sullen, ignorant slattern. Mrs. Fothergill.
You think I'm going to say I won't, don't you? Well, I will, so there.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. Well, now, Mrs. Sandiford will be in charge of making the scenery, a hammer and saw having been specially loaned for the purpose by Mr. Eddington at the do-it-yourself shop. Properties will be in the capable hands of Mesdames Kershaw and Robinson, and Mrs. Bellamy will be in charge of the refreshments.
Alice.
Oh, what is it, Phyllis?
Couldn't I be in charge of refreshments instead of up on the stage?
No, you cannot. In any case, I wouldn't have thought you want to go within 50 yards of that urn after last Tuesday. Now, ladies, rehearsals will take place here, urn permitting, from next Thursday. And now, without further ado, and with apologies for the long delay, I'll pass you to our guest speaker, Mr. David O'Brien, who will be speaking on the subject of energy conservation. And I think we can do with a bit of that. I mean, that urn must be a major drain on our North Sea resources. So, I will now leave you in the capable hands of Mr. O'Brien, who is, I understand, a friend of the Earth. Oh. Thank you.
Right. I want 2 pounds of sugar, half a marge, in a lump, none of that fancy soft stuff, 2 tablets of scrubbing soap, a bottle of bleach, and a quarter of mint imperials.
Evening, Mrs. Fothergill. Not too warm, is it?
Well, you want to wear more. Underneath. Hey, have you learned your words yet?
Most of them. But I'd still rather nod my head instead of saying, yes, please. Only Alice won't let me.
Shame about the Betty Davis of the little theatre, isn't it?
Yes.
Is she all right now?
Oh, yes. You know, Mrs. Fothergill, I don't think Mrs. Sandiford dropped that hammer on her toe deliberately.
I'm not.
And you didn't put Mrs. Sandiford up to it, did you?
No, I did not. Hey, has she written that last scene yet?
You mean, has Malcolm written it?
Ah, you've got the lot then, have you, Mr. Robinshaw? Hey, you know her next door to me, Mrs. McKinnon? I shouldn't bother making her next week's order up. She'll not last to my way of thinking.
Oh, dear. Old Mrs. McKinnon, how is she?
Rambling. Oh, she'll not be long. You can see it in her face. Roused herself just enough to tell me to get Henderson's for the funeral and where her insurances were.
Have you finished, Mrs. Fothergill?
Finished? Oh, yes.
Oh, well, could I have 2 pounds of sugar, please, Mr. Robinshaw, and a tin of mushy peas?
You know, you're paying for nothing there. Buy dried ones and mush them yourself.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. Could I have a packet of muesli, Mr. Robinshaw, please?
You don't eat that stuff, do you? I thought that was meant for hamsters and such like.
And a quarter of corned beef. And would you put it on my account, please?
On my account? My word, Phyllis Middleton. You've come a long way since you used to use a loofah wrapped up in a bit of a bolster as a doll.
I think the stage looks very nice, don't you, Mrs. Fothergill?
It doesn't look like Haworth Parsonage to me. I mean, what's that big flight of steps doing in the middle? Our Alice is going to be in her element sweeping down that lot. Does she know?
It was her suggestion.
I thought it might be. Have we got scripts for that last scene yet?
Oh, yes. Here we are.
But all pieces of paper are different sizes.
I know. It's most unfortunate, but Miss Carter's done the typing. You know, she works in the office at Kershaw and Butterworth's and had to use what paper she could find.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Sandiford, love. You sure you're all right now?
Hey, up. Betty Davis is here.
Well, we'll have tea when you're ready, Mrs. Sandiford. Well, here we are then. Sorry to keep you waiting.
What have you got on, Alice Foster?
Well, I thought I'd like to get the feel of the part more, so I ran this crinoline up.
I remember them curtains. You used to have them in your back bedroom.
You had your hair done too. You look quite the part already.
Well, it does help, you know, as I found out in my days at the little theatre. Now, are we all here?
Oh, Mrs. Partington can't come. Her husband's on night, so she's having to stop in with the children.
That doesn't stop her when she wants to go to bingo, does it? Oh, there's no dedication these days. The artistic director of the little theatre was telling me only the other day that... Where's the sofa?
What sofa?
For the play! Mrs. Robinson distinctly said that we'd have it tonight.
Well, she can't carry it herself, can she?
Mrs. Kershaw could help her, couldn't she?
Oh, don't you remember, Alice? She resigned.
Oh, yes, well, we'll just have to improvise, won't we? Now, have you both got your scripts?
Yes, thank you, Alice.
It's written on backs of invoices.
Oh, whatever's that?
Oh, I've got Mrs. Sandiford knocking up a bay window. I thought it'd be rather nice with the steps and the columns. Now, can we... Oh, just a minute. Mrs. Sandiford, we're trying to rehearse, dear. Yes, thank you. No idea. Right. Now then, can we begin, please? Scene 4. Charlotte is discovered at the desk writing.
Not much else you can do with a desk, is there?
Mrs. Fothergill, please. As she writes, she speaks. Ah, me. 'Tis a sad and doleful day. With the mist coming down from the moors. Old Josiah Hartley, hardly cold in his grief, and his 7 bairns already took with the typhoid.
Eh, it's going to be a bundle of laughs, this is.
Mrs. Fothergill, please. Now, come on. I must hasten with my letter, or I'll miss the post. What else have I to tell my friend, Mrs. Gaskell, about our family? The Reverend Patrick Bronte, our father.
Which-hearted heaven.
Oh, Mrs. Come on now. Our father and incumbent of this parish, not to mention my sisters Emily and Anne, not to mention our brother Branwell, and that sullen, ignorant slattern, Mrs. Crabtree, looks up. Eh? Oh, no, that's a direction, isn't it? She looks up, you see. Sorry, I'll do that again. Why, here comes Mrs. Crabtree. You know, I think I'll say that sullen, ignorant slattern again, just to make it clear who I mean. Why, here comes that sullen, ignorant slattern, Mrs. Crabtree, now. Mrs. Fothergill!
Sorry, I was just telling Phyllis about Pauline Jackson. She's in club. And I think it's that lad of Agnes Nettleton's. If it is, that makes 3 since he started working at that tannery. Must be something in water.
Mrs. Fothergill, I have just given you your cue. Now, will you please come on and say your lines? Ready? Right. Why? Here comes that sullen, ignorant slattern, Mrs. Crabtree, now.
Outfit post. Hardly worth bothering, was it?
Yes, I have a letter here to my friend, Mrs. Gaskell, if you would be so kind as to take it to the post. Why? Here comes my sister Anne now. She has been closeted with the tenant of Wildfell Hall. Mrs. Fothergill, will you please stop giggling? Right. Hello, Anne. Is your headache better? Phyllis.
Alice, I think something's gone wrong.
No, it hasn't. Say your first line.
Well, it's just that...
Oh, Phyllis, come on.
Oh, very well. Kershaw and Butterworth, dyers and finishers. Invoice number 3486.
Turn over, Phyllis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is.
Hello, Anne. Is your headache better?
Yes, thank you, Charlotte. What? Father's potion does him no good at all.
Oh.
Can't I just nod my head, Alice?
No, you cannot. Now, where are we? Ah, yes. I have just written a letter to my friend, Mrs. Gaskell, famous authoress and wife of the minister of Cross Street Chapel, Manchester, which is quite near the Cotton Exchange. You know, I think that's very clever of our Malcolm to have put that in. I mean, it sort of brings it to life, doesn't it? I mean, it is near the Cotton Exchange.
It's near that new Arndale shopping centre as well. He could have put that in and all.
Oh.
which is quite near the Cotton Exchange. Mrs. Fothergill, where are you going?
Well, I've been looking. There's four pages of that letter and my feet are killing me, so I'm going to have a sit down.
You're not supposed to wander off like that. You're supposed to be Mrs. Crabtree and stop where you are.
I've been on my feet all day because of her next door.
Poor old Mrs. McKinnon, how is she?
Gone.
Oh, I am sorry.
I just told her I'd noticed her television licence was due next month and she slipped away.
In the midst of life.
Oh, give over, Phyllis. She was 94. I was beginning to think him up there had lost her application form.
Mrs. Fothergill, if you don't mind. Now, which is quite near the Cotton Exchange. Would you like me to read it to you?
Phyllis.
Can I nod my head instead of saying yes, please? Phyllis Middleton. I have had just about as much of your artistic temperament as I can take.
Artistic, Phyllis?
Just because you live in a fantasy world where Oliver Reed bursts into your bedroom dressed up as Rommel and has his way with you. There is no need for you to come to Glenda Jackson with me.
Oh, Alice, please.
Now, you listen to me, Madam Chairman, leading Lady Alice Chadwick that was. If Glenda Jackson was to walk into this room now, she'd flatten you before you had time to say, ladies, please. Now, let's get on. Phyllis, say, yes, please.
Yes, please.
Right. It's you now, Alice. Oh. And go careful with your voice. You're beginning to sound like Eddie Waring.
Very well, Mrs. Fothergill. Thank you for yours of the 14th inst, which is to hand.
You can tell your Malcolm works in an office, can't you?
Father is no better, I am sad to say. His gut gives him much pain. Gut? Oh, no, I think that's a typing error. His gout gives him much pain. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
I should leave it as gut. It might get a laugh.
Our brother Branwell is back from the city. What a sloth of iniquity Bradford must be. Oh, I've just realised I was supposed to move there.
Move what?
No, me. I was supposed to move over to the fireplace and lean against the mantelpiece before I started the letter.
Well, go on then.
Of the 14th inst, which is to hand, moves and leans. Father is Alice! Ooh. Mrs. Sandiford! Mrs. Sandiford, I want a word with you!
Oh, she's flipped.
Now, listen.
I've been waiting for this for 3 weeks.
It's the strain.
Strain?
Well, you can tell from her voice it's going.
Voice? That's all the talking she does. I mean, you, me and Doreen Partington have more than a page and a half put together. It's Alice, Alice all the way. It'll come to my great-aunt Martha's bottle yet.
Great-aunt Martha?
A remedy for sore throats and such like. Oh. You know, herbs and one or two bits of pieces.
Oh.
I'll make her a bottle up just in case. Hey, it's good for your nerves as well.
So, I think we'll take a break. And if you'd get the urn going, Mrs. Sandiford...
Hey, up, here she is. Get your right shield out, Phyllis.
Well, now, I think a cup of tea and we'll be able to resume in a calmer frame of mind, no doubt.
Beryl Sandiford wasn't at the last meeting. Did you tell her about the...
That'll teach her to threaten me with a hammer.
Now... Your Martin has gone out, hasn't he?
Yes, he's gone down to the hall. He's helping Alice's husband finish the scenery off.
Finish it?
Mrs. Sandiford resigned. Then they're going to get another sofa. And Mrs. Robinson...
I heard. Resigned.
Well, mind you, I think Alice was justified. I mean, I don't think they had G-plan at Howarth either.
Well, that screaming fit wasn't justified, though. Nearly finished her voice off. Anyway, she's got a bottle of me great-aunt Martha's.
Mrs. Fothergill, I am not happy about this deceit. Just...
I've got a full set of Catherine Cookson stories and they're yours for the reading.
Alice isn't going to like it.
Alice isn't supposed to like it. Did she or did she not shut your fingers in a car door when she gave you a lift home from rehearsals?
Well, yes,
And have there been 8 resignations from the Guild and an official complaint to the National Headquarters since we started this play?
Well, I suppose...
And what she called Mrs. Robinson certainly didn't fit in with her position as Madam Chairman and the proud owner of a sunroom extension and a split-level cooker, did it?
Well, no. No, it didn't.
Right, then. Right, it's that part where you come in and she says, would you like her to read the letter to you? Now, I'll be Alice. Ready?
Ready.
My friend, Mrs. Gaskell, famous authoress and wife of the minister of Cross Street Chapel, Manchester, which is quite near the Cotton Exchange, would you like me to read it to you?
No, you stupid git. I wouldn't. There's our dad upstairs coughing his guts out. Emily is up to heaven knows what with that lad from Top Withens. Branwell's dragged another slut back from Bradford. And all you can do is suck up to that creep, Lizzie Gaskell. Oh, Mrs. Fothergill, I don't think...
Carry on!
And when you're not doing your go-go act at the Black Bull, you're fantasising about Mr. Rochester having his way with Jane Eyre dressed up as Napoleon. Who's dressed up as Napoleon, Mrs. Fothergill?
Oh, never mind. It'll get a laugh.
Oh, will you excuse me? Hello? Clothbottom 78764?
Ellis.
Hello? Hello?
Phyllis.
Pardon? Oh, dear.
Is that you, Phyllis?
Now, look here, my man. If this is an obscene phone call, I think I ought to tell you I spent some years as a school dinner lady and I am not easily shocked.
Don't be stupid, Phyllis. It's me, Alice.
Who?
Alice.
Alice? What's happened to your voice, Alice?
I should have thought it was flaming obvious. I've lost it.
There is no need for language like that, Alice. Just because you've lost your voice?
I took just one dose of Mrs. Fothergill's great aunt Martha's remedy.
You did what?
Just one dose in hot water.
You're supposed to rub it on, not drink it.
I know that. Now?
What are we going to do about the play? We'll have to cancel it.
We can't. We'll have to swap the parts round. You'll have to play Charlotte and I'll do your part. It's not much. And
I couldn't. I couldn't, Alice. All those words.
That's typical of you. Always thinking of yourself.
Look, Alice, Mrs. Fothergill's here now.
Mrs. Fothergill? What's she doing at your house?
Never mind. I'll talk to her. She'll know what to do.
No, Phyllis. No. No, Mrs. Fothergill. Now, listen to me, Phyllis.
No. You listen to me, Alice. Just for once. Wrap yourself up in a blanket. Have some hot sweet tea and we will see to everything.
I think I told her to rub it on. I think.
Oh, Mrs. Fothergill.
You know what we've got to do, don't you?
Oh, I couldn't, Mrs. Fothergill. All those words.
I wasn't thinking of you.
Well, Doreen Partington can't. I mean, she hasn't been often enough. She's got most of her part as Emily written on her pinny, and anyway, hey, that means you, Mrs. Fothergill.
Well, I've had nothing else to do for 5 weeks except sit about listening to her saying them words, have I? You play Anne, Doreen does Emily.
But that means...
That's right. A sullen, ignorant slattern, Alice Foster.
Oh, Mrs. Fothergill! Ladies, please.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies. Now, before I introduce our guest speaker for the evening, may I thank you all very much for the Get Well card and the flowers. As you know, ladies, we won the drama festival outright. Indeed, yes. Excellent work from those stalwarts who stayed the course. And I think I can do no better than quote from what the local paper had to say. By their performance of At Home with the Brontes by brilliant local writer Hennessy Williams, that's the name our Malcolm uses when he writes his plays, the Clothbottom Ladies Evening Guild staked their claim as the premier drama group in the district. Very flattering, isn't it? This riotous farce... Yes, I think that's a bit unkind, really.
Well, it was by the time we'd finished with it.
Provided a suitable vehicle for a quartet of real talent. There now. Doreen Partington's athletic build was appropriate to the part of Emily Bronte, and she earned a special round of applause from the audience for her presence of mind when, finding the door stuck, she made her entrance through the fireplace. Phyllis Middleton made the most of the part of Anne Bronte.
Alice, it said the badly underwritten part of Anne Bronte.
Yes, well, all right. It said that you made the most of it anyway. And we hope to see more of this budding Nairi Dawn Porter in the future. Jessica Fothergill turned in a powerful performance as Charlotte. Here, at last, we have a local actress capable of tackling any of the great classic roles. We would like to see her as Lady Macbeth or Joan of Arc. Yes. Right. So, ladies, there we are. Accolades, indeed.
Hey.
Yes, Mrs. Fothergill.
There's more. You haven't finished.
Well, I really don't think the ladies would be interested.
Give me that paper. Oh,
Mrs. Fothergill.
Alice Foster, who will be remembered for her contributions to the Little Theatre some years ago, wisely chose to limit herself to the small cameo role of the housekeeper. Whilst adequate in the part, the husky voice she adopted made it difficult to hear what she said. But we hope to see more of this prize-winning group, whose performance would not disgrace that of the Royal Shakespeare Company. There now.
Thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. And for your information, ladies, our Malcolm sent his play off to them, and the BBC, in that order. So, without further ado, I'll leave you in the hands of our surprise guest speaker for the evening, our own Mrs. Fothergill, who will be speaking on the subject of herbal remedies, their use and abuse. Thank you, Mrs. Fothergill.
That was Thank You, Mrs. Fothergill by Keith Parry. Sheila Hancock played the part of Madam Chairman, Alice Foster. Avis Bunnage was Mrs. Fothergill. And Pat Coombs played Phyllis Middleton. The programme was produced by Bob Oliver Rogers. Thank you.